Well, this morning we're going to go back over in our subject. I've been talking about the name above every name. Hallelujah. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in study and listening to teaching and reading. The book by E.W. Kenyon called The Wonderful Name of Jesus. Going back over, refreshing myself and things, you know, that years ago and things that I have studied and I've taught on this, this subject. But I realized one thing is when the Lord spoke to me and told me to go over to teach on this subject, really is get back on it, I didn't realize when I started to teach it how much the body of Christ in general has moved away from any teaching and things along this line. Most of the time Jesus and His name is used more as, just as a religious saying than more than having any meaning to people. Is one of the things as we have today, a lot of Christianity has moved far away from Jesus Christ. There's a huge amount of the church world doesn't believe in the virgin birth anymore, and they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was just a man. Well, if he was, then Christianity is absolutely worthless. It means nothing. I mean, if Jesus is a liar, I mean, what would it do any good to serve a liar? If he wasn't what he said he was, if the scripture's not true, what it says about him, I personally don't understand how a man can stand in a pulpit, call himself a Christian, and then call Jesus a liar and what he said about him. Well, if Jesus is a liar, then the person who said it is a worse liar, saying they're a servant of his. And ministering to people thinking they're going to get anywhere. Well, there's one thing as I know that the Word of God is true because when I got born again, when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it absolutely changed my life. It absolutely revolutionized my life. And it's one of the things that I want to look at, and we're going to look a bit at today, is dealing with the fact of that name of Jesus and how it fits and what it works, its authority, because people have lost that. We need to understand for whatever it is that we're coming to God for. We did talk about the fact, Jesus said that anything you ask the Father in His name when it came to praying, that His Father would do it for you. And so that's an absolutely phenomenal statement. That anything that you ask in His name, in other words, His name is the authority for you to receive. It's faith in His name. In other words, if you don't believe in His name, you don't believe He's who He said He was, you're not going to have much of a prayer life. Because the Father responds to you in prayer on the basis of your faith in the name. Not on the basis of your faith in the promise. Your faith in the promise don't get you the answer. Your faith in the name of Jesus gets you the answer. He said, you're going to get what you pray for, it's in my name. He didn't say, just because you believe God wants to do something for you, just because you believe God wants to heal you, just because you believe such and such. Jesus Christ said that my name determines whether you get your prayer answered or not. It's my name. And we need to understand that. Jesus talks about prayer. In other words, Jesus said that nobody can come to the Father except through me. I mean, that leaves out other religions. I mean, if Jesus Christ is either everything he said he was, or he's the biggest liar that ever was on the face of the earth. He said that you can't come to God in any other way except through him. Now the world is full of religions. We have all kinds of religions. I know when I was, before I became a Christian, I looked at many other religions and I looked at them. You know, I went over, I heard a Jew one time say, talk about, you know, you Christians have your way to God. He said, the Buddhists have their way to God. And he said, you know, and we have our way to God. And you got your way, we got our, we're all going to the same place. Well, that's not what Jesus Christ said. In fact, under his law, he's a liar. Under the law says that his God's the only God. And, you know, his law said, was dealing with the law, that you had to practice what the law said or you couldn't get to God. So he's absolutely a liar too. And so, now he much sure didn't view himself that way. He thought he was being nice and being cute about the thing, but he wasn't being cute about nothing. He was lying to people. I looked into other religions. I looked into Buddhism. One of the things is in my, one of my searches in, concerning religion. And when I was in Vietnam, I went to a Buddhist monastery. And I went there and it convinced me they didn't know at all where they were going. I went to the Buddhist monastery and I looked and they took me to their library. And in their library, they had this huge library. Any kind of philosophy and any kind of books you want, they had, you know, they had the Bible there. In there, they, you could go up and they had King James versions of the Bible. Oh, they had those kinds of things. They had all this stuff there of any kind of philosophy in the world. Well, the more I talked to them, the more I realized you pick whatever you want to follow in a good way. Well, I thought, dear God, then they don't even know what the path is. Everybody just chooses. And I just said to them, if I can choose any way I want, what do I need you or Buddha for? What do I need you for? In other words, it don't matter. And you don't realize what they're telling you is you become God. You choose your way. You decide. You become God in your life. Well, I knew I was in big trouble if I was going to be God in my life because I knew what I was doing with it before. I was making a mess of my life choosing that direction. So we have to sit down and decide about this Jesus, and we need to convince ourselves. And I said before, and I want to say this again, we choose whether we want to believe or not. We choose. God is not going to choose for us. Nobody chooses for us. We determine if we want to believe, if we desire to believe. People say, well, you know, when it comes to religion, that's hard. No, it's not. We live our whole life out believing things people say. We believe other people, the drop of a hat. But we come to the Word of God, and then we become skeptics. No, we determine what we believe. What I found out is believing. I tried all kinds of things in my life. I had tried all kinds of stuff. I had gotten into sorcery and all kinds of different things and all kinds of stuff because I did have an interest in the realm of the Spirit. There's one thing that I believed in, and I still believe in wholly today, is the realm of the Spirit. I believe that's the place of power. And that's what the Bible teaches. I was born and raised in a Christian church, but they didn't teach us that that was the place of power. They just told you good works, be a nice guy, and you know, maybe God will do something for you. But I found out there's a place of power, and that's the realm of the Spirit. And if you hook up in the realm of the Spirit, you'll walk in that place of power. And that was the whole point of becoming born again. When you became born again, you hooked up into the place of power. Now, most Christians don't know it because they haven't been told it. They weren't told that they hooked up into the place of power. They're told you just got your sins forgiven. I want to tell you, if that's all you believe about getting saved was getting your sins forgiven, you're going nowhere. The devil's going to eat your lunch every morning you wake up. Getting your sins forgiven don't give you nothing. God forgave the whole world their sins through Jesus Christ. The new birth changed your location of where you live. Now, not physically, but spiritually. Now you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. In other words, from a spiritual perspective, you have changed locations, you have changed nations, you have changed totally the person that you were. Now you're a child of God. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. The Bible tells us that Satan no longer has dominion over you. It says sin no longer has dominion over you. Yet most of the church believes sin does have dominion. And all these preachers will stand up, you're just going to sin. In other words, sin has dominion over you. Jesus lied. See, if we're going to believe the Bible, one of the reasons that people never overcome is because what they're told they are. If you're told and you're just going to sin and that's the way it's going to happen, then what's the point of fighting it? What's the point of resisting something if you're just going to succumb to it anyhow? What's the point? Is there any point? No. You might as well just quit, you know, troubling yourself and wearing yourself out and just go do it. Well, they told you, you're just going to sin. So men have lived up to the word that's been preached to them. We've lived up to it. They told us we were going to live like hell and we did our best. They never told us what we really were. You know, they talked about us being children of God, but that was sort of just a little sideline. It was never a reality or a truth. You know, I remember in the churches I was in as a kid, and they would stand up and they'd give their testimonies, and they'd have these testimonies. Every Wednesday night, they had testimony meeting and what they called a prayer meeting that nobody ever prayed at. It was a prayer meeting. It's like prayer breakfast. I always love these prayer breakfasts. They go, "Minister, do you want to go to a prayer breakfast?" I tell them, say, "Let's skip the breakfast and pray, or let's just go eat. Which do you want to do?" Because I found out when you go to them, we do all eating and no praying. It ain't no prayer breakfast at all. I know what it is. Christians love to tack their little religious sayings on to stuff and their little religious things. Then they become spiritual, and it ain't nothing spiritual about it at all. You know, it's just religious. And it's more demonic than it is godly, because they go to lying. They call a prayer meeting and then they don't pray. They lied. They don't view it like that, but they did. But they used to get up and then they get up and give their testimony. And they gave their testimony. Now they would say that they were children of God, and they would say, you know, things that the scripture said. But when their testimony came, you knew what they really believed. "We're just trying to hold on. We're just trying to make it. You know, we're just trying to, wow." You know, that was their testimony. It was testimony. "Praise God. He's given me the victory in Christ Jesus. I've been facing this trouble, but I know God's given me the victory." They didn't talk. They got up and said, "Well, man, the devil's eating my lunch and I ain't got much left for me anymore. I'm probably going to starve out, but pray for me that I might hold on faithful till the end." And it was like, the end will probably come before the end of the service. And they talk like that. Now, I was born and raised under that. So hearing that as a young man and listening to those kinds of things, it really gave me a bad opinion of God. I always thought about, you know, that you're on this thing. You know, you accept Jesus and what they called about, you know, believing on Jesus. But really, there was no power or no life to it. It really wasn't. Those nice things that were said in the Bible were said as nice things, but they weren't true. It wasn't going to happen to you. It couldn't happen to you. You were always just trying to make it. You were always just trying to get by. Well, I was until I was 30 years old, and a guy gave me a book that I read that talked about the real Jesus. I really realized that I had went to church so many times as a young boy, and I'd never heard about the real Jesus. Yet they would swear they preached to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ till I was 30 years old, and yet I went to church more than you folks ever been in church. And they were sitting around swearing. They thought because they said things out of the book and held the book up that all of a sudden it became the gospel. But really, they didn't know it. They weren't bad people trying to do bad things, but they weren't telling the truth. They were passing on things that other people had said, other things. They're passing this stuff on, but they're not passing the truth of the book. And they're not letting people know who they are. You can't go any further than you know who you are and what you are. You know, really, in a sense, most of the churches end up in a caste system. You know, in India they have caste systems, and you're born into something and you just sort of stay there all your life, and your whole life you're in that certain segment of people and you can't get over into this other segment unless you're born in that group. But they sort of end up putting you in a type of caste system, and they put you in a place, if you don't watch it, because there's people out here that preach and tell you the truth about the word and give you the victory, and they'll put you in a class of people that praise God, you're out there, wow, I'm following God, God's going to bless me. Or some of them will put you in a class of people over there that you're always on the defeated side, you know. And while I'm down here, I'm always this weary pilgrim, you know. And I got this great burden on my back going through life. And when I get to heaven, just give me a little old cabin in the corner of glory land. And they're walking. Hey, people, they live like that. They live, and you know what? They become, because that's what they believe that they are. They stay in that caste. They stay in that place and they live their life out in that. And they see, I can't step over to this place. I can't go there. This is what I am. You know, Jesus, yes, He won me a victory and that stuff. He won victories and that stuff. You know, but all the miracles stopped when the last apostle died. Now, it says no such thing in the Bible. Men had to make that up. And what it is faithless people began to tell everybody that if God don't move through me, He won't move through you. That's what they want you to believe. They want you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I found this out now in Christianity. I found out. Now, a lot of wonderful, good Christians try to help you to get someplace. But I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of them out there. If you start going someplace, they're going to try to drag you down with them. Oh man, I had people when I first started off on fire for God. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, don't worry about, there's enough wet blankets in the church to put the fire out. And I'll tell you, everybody was, we had loads of people with buckets of water trying to cool me down. You know, don't get too fired up about God. Don't get too excited about God. Oh yeah, I mean, He's only the Savior of the world and He delivered you, but don't get too excited about that. I mean, if you can't get excited about that, you ain't got a right to be excited about a thing. We should be greatly excited. I was excited. I was born again, a child of God, and I saw myself as stepping into a new life. And that's what the new birth is about. It's about stepping into a life that I never had. And that's what Jesus Christ is about. Either that name will bring you into a new life, or that name is worthless. It means nothing to believe on. If I'm only stuck in the same realm that I was, or in the same place that I was, that name means nothing. And I want you to understand this. The power of the life of God is in the name of Jesus. That's where the power, let me say this to you. The power is not in the Holy Ghost. It's in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost does not move beyond where Jesus moves. I don't care if you've got the Holy Ghost in you. I watch Holy Spirit-filled people go nowhere because they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost moves in line with Jesus Christ. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He takes what belongs to me and reveals it to you. The Holy Spirit does not move outside of Jesus Christ. He is submissive totally to Jesus' will and plan and purpose. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, He has been given a name which is above every name. It tells us that every being in heaven and in earth and under the earth must bow to that name. Is the Holy Ghost in heaven? You know the Holy Ghost bows to the name of Jesus? Do you know the Father God bows to the name of Jesus? The Father does not answer prayer unless it's under the name of Jesus Christ. The Father has totally submitted Himself to Jesus Christ being the Lord of heaven, earth, and under the earth. He is the total authority. Nothing takes place or nothing happens except through Jesus Christ. Now the day will come when everything's settled out and cleared out and the devil and everybody and the lake of fire and all that stuff. It says then the Son's going to turn everything back to the Father. But while we're in this age and living in this time, without Jesus you go nowhere. Without understanding who Jesus is and what He is, you go nowhere. Heaven is totally in submission to Jesus Christ. Earth has the opportunity to be submissive if we want to. In hell, they know His Lord. They got whipped by Him when He went down there in that place and took the keys of hell and death. They know this one. They know the victor, and we're told that we can cast out devils in Jesus' name. Under the authority of that name, we can tell devils to leave. Devils don't leave because of you. They leave because of your faith in that name. They cannot do anything against that name if you have faith in that name. That name's been given to you. But see, this is the things that we need to understand and we need to comprehend concerning this Jesus Christ and this name. Everything is founded in it. Everything that God does and everything that God is today and is doing, everything responds to that name. Heaven responds to that name. It's the name above every name, it says. It's above every name. See, if you had a name, just like in the earth, here in the earth, if you had a name that was above every name, what would that mean to people? That would constitute to people right away would think, that person has special authority nobody has. It has special rights and privileges nobody else gets. Sort of like our Congress, They can disobey the laws and they don't have to, and they don't go to jail, but if you do, you go to jail, They've given themselves a name which is above every name. Now, let me tell you, God didn't give it to them and neither did the Constitution. Those scumbags took it all by themselves. And they do those things. But I want to tell you what, Jesus Christ, I talked to you, the Lord told me to go back to this today to talk about the fact of the Bible being a legal document. You need to understand the legality of this document, because if you don't, you will never respond to the name. You won't respond in faith to the name. Faith in the name will change your life. Faith in the name of Jesus will absolutely revolutionize your life. Because in the authority of that name, you'll see a new way to live. You'll see a new way to walk and live a life. And I want to tell you, from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, Not the fifth chapter, but in the fifth chapter it says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You're going to find yourself being a new creation. There's many people get born again and they never really come into being the new creation. They do become one, but they have no knowledge of it. But I tell you, when you come into the knowledge of it, it'll revolutionize your life. And if you know what you have and what you've been given through Jesus Christ, it will change your life. But the reason it does is because you treat the words of this book as a legal document. You see, God will always keep His Word. You know, I've sat in churches and I've heard ministers say things like, well, you know, God can do whatever He wants. I want to tell you, He cannot. If God does anything outside of His Word and doesn't follow His Word, He's a liar. If God says He would do something and then He decides, well, I ain't going to do it. He's no different than any man on this earth that says, well, I ain't going to do what I said. You see, we live in a world where contracts and documents mean nothing anymore. I mean, courts will let people lie, cheat, and steal. People sign stuff. You know, back when this mortgage thing all started some few years ago, and all this thing and all these mortgages and that stuff, and they started blaming all these mortgage companies for all the problems of people and having trouble with these mortgages. And you know what? I got looking into it and started reading some things on the contract these people were signing. Well, these companies weren't bad. The people knew exactly what they were signing, and they were signing for things they couldn't afford to pay for. And so the courts came along and let them get out of it. The courts come along and said, you know what, you don't have to be good for your word. This is one of the things, is America. This is why Christians, we need to set ourselves on a road that is different than the world. We need to become people of our word. Understand, people don't see God except through the church. And if the church is a bunch of lying, cheating crooks, they ain't going to think much of Jesus. We got to become people of our word. I'm going to tell you, that'd be a new thing in America, people becoming the people of their word. I'm going to tell you, this nation is filled with liars from the top to the bottom. People who will not keep their word. And I've decided a long time ago, I'm not going to be one of them, because I was given a name which was above every name, the name of Jesus. We were given that. Hallelujah. That's the name that we were born under. And that name is, that under that name and under the legality of this, really, this covenant that we were given, God will do everything that He says. So I don't have to lie, cheat, and steal to try to get to the top. In fact, the most phenomenal thing happens to an individual in the realm of the Spirit. There is no ladder of success in the Spirit. Everybody gets born again and seated in heavenly places in Christ. There's not a higher position to go to. It's what happens is most Christians never find out. They live and die on the earth and didn't know. And they're trying to climb a ladder of success with God. You don't climb a ladder of success. The Bible states clearly that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word says. The covenant says that. If the covenant says that, you have to decide, is it true or not? You decide, am I going to believe that? Or I'm going to look at my circumstance and say, no, I must not be there because, you know, I'd be doing a lot better. Well, one of the things is we don't do well is because of the lack of faith. We don't believe what the Word says. When Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was raised from the dead and He was seated in that heavenly place, it says we were raised together with Him. You were raised. You know, the most phenomenal thing that I think about, because there is a heaven and there is a hell, and I know there's a hell because I have experience about it. But I won't go into that. But I want you to understand this. In hell, everybody who is in hell, in Christ Jesus, their sins were forgiven. And in Christ Jesus, all men were raised. It's just some people don't accept it. Some people will never accept. They'll live in this earth. And they will never accept the one who raised them up. So they don't get raised up. They never accept Jesus. They never receive Him. The Bible says, as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power to become a son of God. He said, to as many as received Him. To as many as received Him. See, a lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus. Did you ever receive Him? Well, that's another thing. See, many people don't receive that as a truth. Many people believe in their minds Jesus existed. We know from a historical standpoint, they can prove from history Jesus existed. But is He the Son of God? Did He die for the sins of the world? Was He raised from the dead? Is He sitting on high in a glorified human body? Is that happened? Well, most of them don't believe that at all. But see, historically, we have some facts that are true. But this Word tells us things. See, the Word hooks you and I up into the realm of the Spirit. These words in this book, in this new covenant, This is a covenant. It's a heavenly contract. It's different than the contracts this world got. This is an eternal contract. And the Bible says this, God changes not. He don't change. Do you know when God called sin, sin, it was sin. And when God lists in this book what sins are, it ain't ever changed. When people come along and say, well, you know, you can do that today. If this book says you can't do it, God changes not. People make statements, oh, that's old covenant. Well, you ought to read Paul's writings then. Paul lists all that scumbag stuff that people say is okay today, and he says it's wrong. And it's in the new covenant. So see, what the new covenant, this new covenant tells us a good way to live and a bad way to live. It tells us, and it don't tell it so somehow, you know, you're just missing out on all the good stuff in life. No, the things, if you follow this book, the things that you will miss are the things that are killing you and causing your problems to begin with. I know. The things that caused me my troubles were the things this book was trying to tell me to get out of. This book, God wants to deliver us and want us to walk in freedom. The way God delivers you is through giving you the information that Jesus Christ already has accomplished for you. You know, and literally, from a spiritual standpoint, God is not going to make you free. You have already been made free. What you do is find out about it. It's what you know, it's just like here in this natural life we live. You know, some people don't know legally they can do certain things, so they don't, and you know, they miss out on certain things, and then all of a sudden find out later on, you know, we could have done such and such, we were allowed to do, but we didn't know that. Well, see, that freedom was there all the time to do that. We were just ignorant of it. We didn't know it. Most Christians don't know what God has done for them. They keep trying to get God to do things like He hasn't done it. See, when the Bible tells us He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, most people, most Christians don't really believe that. They believe they're pretty well in darkness yet. You know, we're just trying to get along. We're trying to get by. God's not going to translate anybody from the kingdom of darkness who is born again. They're already taken out of that. When they receive Jesus Christ, you were removed out of Satan's dominion and hand. See, many people are trying to get free from the devil. Why would I try to get free from whom I'm free? See, most people, their own talk, their own voice is their greatest problem because they talk themselves into being something less than they are. They talk about themselves. They don't talk about themselves being in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, being delivered from sin. No, they'll talk about, oh, I'm just, you know, trying my best and I don't try my best anymore. I lived for 30 years at my best. And I was killing myself at it. I did my best. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what my best is. It was puke. My best was not, there was nothing good about Ed's best. Ed's best did never work. Because Jesus Christ did something for me, but I had no knowledge of that. I didn't know. But when I came into the kingdom of God, I started to find out what God gave me. Hallelujah. That God had given me something. And in what God had given, when I started to find out what God did in Christ Jesus, then I started coming out from where I was. When I started to see the things that, the wonderful things that God offered to me just by faith, if I would respond to Him by faith, things that I could have, things that would change my life. You know, it's learning to do that, learning to walk in. And when I began to get over into the things, because even as a sinner, I don't know about it, I hated sickness and disease. I'm going to tell you, people don't hate sickness and disease in America. They love it. They fight to save money to get sick so they can spend it on their sicknesses. We love sickness in America. America's perverted. We love our sicknesses. My words, you try to take somebody's sickness from them, they'll fight you tooth and nail, you know. My words. I mean, people will make up sicknesses like crazy just so they can have medication, so they can talk to their friends about some stuff and tell everybody about, you just don't know how bad I have it in life. You just don't know how rough it is that I got it. You know, my word, I got to take 47 different medicines. Say, are you bragging or are you just insane? Which is it? You say, I have to do it. Well, I found out you don't have to live a life like that. I'll tell you, we live in a country of hypochondriacs. We do. Loads of hypochondriacs. My mother was a hypochondriac. I lived and born and raised around that stuff. My mom, you know, she'd get these crazy medical books and read them until she was done with it. She felt every symptom they said they had to a disease. And after a while, she needed to take something for that, and she'd go to the doctor. She'd go, I think I got cancer. Why? Well, I read in the book, if you had this certain thing you felt, I must have been feeling like that, I must have had it, you know. And she would go do that kind of stuff. And folks, I'm not going to look. I'm a minister, and I've had to visit people in the hospitals. And I'll tell you, sometimes visiting people in the hospitals, I think, dear God, these doctors got their hands full because these people don't want to get well. They don't want to get well. People today will not do what they need to do to get well. They're looking for somebody to hand them a quick fix. You know, just give me a pill, makes me feel better, and I can go out and just destroy my body as much as I want. I can just go do anything I want to do, and we're just going to make it work. And people are doing that. We're putting pressure and things on people. It's because we're not living, especially as Christians. I understand the world doesn't. But us Christians need to come under the knowledge of God. I'm going to tell you, it's such a wonderful life. When I found out about sickness and disease, when I found out in the Word of God that I didn't have to live under the bondage of sickness and disease, I'm going to tell you what, I was never so happy in my life. I don't know about you. I am not excited about pain. I'm not excited about sickness, throwing up in toilets, doing things like that. I'm not excited about that stuff. I don't really like it. In fact, I hate it. Well, you know, I thought that I really had a hatred of that, but it wasn't till I got to know Jesus Christ till I realized the hatred that God has for sickness and disease. God absolutely hates sickness and disease. Now, see, I went to a church as a kid. If you got sick, it was God trying to teach you something. God was trying to teach you something. And I just never quite understood. See, I didn't, as a kid, I didn't really, and I told my parents I didn't want to go to heaven because I said, that God that isn't nice to you here, why is He going to be nice to you when you get there? The God that's making you sick here, so if He teaches by making you sick, if He teaches you through by giving destruction to your life, well then He's going to have to do it on that side too. That's how it works. Understand this. God works with you here in this life like He's going to work with you in the life over there. God's a God of faith. That realm operates by faith. If God is doing evil here, is doing things, you know what we would do if a parent came today and said, you know what, I just gave my kids the measles because I love them. You know, we'd be calling the police, lock that idiot up. Yet churches go and worship a God they believe does things like that. You know, little children, cow gets run over by a car. God had His reason for that. No, that was because in this earth something happened, something went wrong, somebody wasn't paying attention or something other. A child gets run over. That's about us. That ain't about God. God didn't say, hey, let's kill that kid today. What do you think? Hey, angels, hey, let's have a good killing. Well, get that kid up here. What do you think? Was God's intent? I'll tell you, let's really ruin those parents' life and take their kid from them because we're going to teach them something. See, there has to be an awakening in the church in these areas. We're bombarded with these kinds of things out here. We're bombarded because we're living in a society today that preaches another gospel. The Apostle Paul had the same problem. The Apostle Paul talked about another gospel was being preached, another Jesus. I want to tell you, I never heard about the real Jesus till I was 30 years old. Never heard about Him. Sitting in churches. Sitting in churches and never heard about the real Jesus. Till a guy handed me a book and I read it and I told him after I read the book, I said, I could serve a God like that. I could serve this God that wants to help you, that wants to bless you, that's not trying to kill you. He's on your side to get you through. He's on your side to deliver you. He's a God. He's the helper. Hallelujah. God said, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And He called Him a helper. What was He doing? Helping to kill people? What was He doing? He's going to help you succeed. Jesus said He would come, what? In my name. I'm going to send Him in my name. And He's going to come in my name. Hallelujah. So this helper was going to come. But see, we gotta get over this thing. Is this Bible what it really says it is? We gotta decide that. We must decide. Is this a true contract? Is God every bit as good as it says? Is it? You know, Israel would stand and see, you know, the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Well, when you think about the mercy of God, do you think about getting sick? Do you think about somebody in your family dying? Do you think about... Well, you don't think about that when you think of mercy. You don't use the word mercy in line with that stuff. You use mercy in the line of God will deliver you. If you're sick, He'll deliver you. If you have a problem in your family, He's working to helping you to try to get this thing fixed. That's what mercy's about. Mercy's about, you know, maybe I even messed up, but I'll tell you, He's so merciful, He'll help idiots like me. Glory to God. See, I know I never was able to help this idiot much, but this God that I serve now does a lot to help me. Hallelujah. He's merciful. He's kind. He's good to me. He's not trying to hurt me. He's done everything that He can to bless my life. And that's what He does to every believer. Every believer. The Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin in 1987 and told him, he said, concerning his church, the believer, he said, I do my best all the time to bless my people as much as I can. But sometimes His people don't let Him. But He's working. Many times people think they're struggling to get God to bless you. You never struggled one iota to get God to bless you. God has been already set more than willing to bless you. But we are trying to respond to God in our way, and we work feverishly at it. We wouldn't have to work feverishly at none of it. You know, it's an interesting thing. I got over studying, and I just want a few things before we quit. When we go over to the book of Acts, there's some things that Kenneth E. Hagin had said. I was listening to some of his teaching on the name of Jesus, and he made the remark and he said about it. He said, it's quite phenomenal that when we look at the scriptures and we look at the church in the beginning and we go to the book of Acts, he said, we need to understand that they had none of the other New Testament writings. They didn't have none. In fact, when the New Testament church started, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't even exist other than these guys knew things about that took place. They walked with Jesus. But they weren't written books. These guys didn't have this stuff to go read back over to go back to. They didn't have the letters of Paul that Paul wrote, the revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus and all those kinds of things. And he said, yet they did phenomenal miracles. He said, they walked in a place of power that most of the church world knows nothing about today. And he said, why did they do it or how did they do it? He said, they did it by the name of Jesus. See, they practiced what they learned from Jesus Christ. And we need to understand this. If you sit down and read the Gospels, you don't find any place Jesus praying for the sick. You don't find any place Jesus praying for the sick. Jesus didn't pray for the sick. Go over, look at the book of Acts and see how much praying they did concerning sick people or anything like that. They didn't do it. That is, now look, you can pray for the sick, but generally that ain't the way that they did it. See, we talk about New Testament churches today, but there's very few New Testament churches because most people, we've been filled with religious ideas by people rather than what the book says. They begin to practice the book. And begin to look at concerning the book. What does the book teach or what does the book tell us? Is finding out about those things. If we went to the book of Acts in the second chapter, it talks there about the people being saved. Peter gave his first sermon, and Peter talked about salvation, getting people saved. And in Acts the second chapter, I'm going to read to you, starting at verse 36, says this, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's Lord in Christ. Here's one of the things. See, men and people today, if you hear the preaching, what they tell you is you need Jesus to come into your heart. The first thing you need to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and you submit to His Lordship. I had a woman tell me one time, and she said for years, she said, oh, I went for years, she said, what really changed my life is when I made Jesus Christ my Lord. I said, I want you to understand, you were never a Christian until you did it. You might accept that Jesus existed, but it wasn't until you made Him His Lord. See, Apostle Paul never wrote and said, if you want to accept Jesus, what you do is ask Him to come into your heart. He said, you need to confess Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. You need to believe that in your heart and say it with your mouth. Have you made Jesus? And I just want to say, have you made Jesus your Lord? Is He Lord? Or are you still Lord? See, I lived 30 years. Ed Gibson was Lord. Ed Gibson was Lord. What revolutionized my life is when I changed over and made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. That's when Ed Gibson's life took a supernatural change. I became a different person. I was no longer my Lord. That night, I confessed to God. I wasn't in a church or in any place. I hadn't had, I'd thrown out all that religious teaching I had, and I just said to him, didn't realize what I was doing, but actually it had turned out to be in line with the Word. And I told him that night, I said, Lord, I served Satan and I did it good. And I was. I was good at following the devil. See, most people, they never admit they follow the devil. They think, well, yeah, I'm a pretty nice person and, you know, I just need to get to heaven. No, I'm going to tell you what. If you don't recognize the nature of sin and sin in your life and what it's done, you'll never see your need for Jesus Christ. He'll never be Lord. Well, I tell you what, I needed another Lord. I came to the place that Ed ran out of Ed, and I needed a Lord. And I confessed to him as Lord, and I said, now I serve Satan. I did whatever he wants, and I just made a commitment that night. I said, now you're going to be my Lord, whatever you want me to do. I'm going to follow you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. I commit myself. I made him my Lord. I didn't realize I was doing it, but that's what I was doing. I was confessing to the fact that he is Lord over my life. I am no longer Lord over my life. Nobody else is going to be Lord over my life. I submit it. You're Lord. That's it. I didn't realize what I was doing. Later on, some years later, he spoke to me, and because I asked him this question, why don't a lot of Christians' lives never change? He said, yours changed because you submitted to me as Lord. He said, most never do. And he reminded me of that night. He said, do you remember when you accepted me? I forgot all about it. He said, you submitted to me that night. He said, that's what changed everything. See, most people never submit their life to Jesus. They never commit themselves to him. We just go through a religious prayer and things, but we don't commit our lives. And I found that commitment of life to Jesus Christ, that when I committed to the fact that he is Lord over me, it changed my life. He didn't become browbeating me and became a guy carrying a whip doing that. My God, I became free for the first time in my life. Hallelujah. I was free from the things that held me in bondage because I had a Lord over me that was greater than any problem that I faced or had. I had somebody now that was on my side. I had somebody. I'll tell you, it really did. It changed my life. Well, we have here in this, he said, here he made this, he says, God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. So he's Lord and he is the Messiah. He's the Messiah that they were looking for. He's the Messiah that the world wants. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So he told them, well, you need to repent, and what they needed to be baptized. Now understand, everybody looks at the thing that begins to talk about, and they use this for water baptism. You need to understand this, folks. If you don't get baptized into Christ, if you don't get by receiving Jesus Christ, that's how you first get saved. Water baptism never saved anybody. It didn't save nothing. We take babies and we baptize them, you know, and take them and baptize them, and you know, let them, oh yeah, now they're a Christian and they're a part of the church and blah. We go through this whole nine yards of stuff, and yet they grow up and live like hell. Well, why? Water baptism don't do a thing for you. It does nothing. My God, the church world, all my friends, you know, I came out of a church, they didn't believe in that kind of, when I was a kid, of doing child baptism. A lot of my friends and druggies I hung around with, they were all baptized when they were kids, and they lived worse than I did. And I lived like hell, man. They lived worse. Why? It didn't do them any good, because it will not save you. Baptism never saved a man. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Water baptism is no more than an outward sign of what happened to you on the inside. It's making a statement to the world. It's testifying to the world that you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised him from the dead. And really, in this writing, if you go over, because the Greek really doesn't, from the Greek standpoint, this would be much better said is baptized into the name. You need to be baptized into the name. They needed to repent and be baptized into the name of Jesus. Now, we see that the name of Jesus was used here concerning salvation, and we know it has to do with the salvation, that it's not talking about water baptism, because John, in John the 3rd chapter, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said this, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him who? Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." Why? Because he has not believed in the name. He has not believed in the name. He has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hasn't believed in the name. See, faith in the name will save you. Lack of faith in the name will lead you in nothing but condemnation. See, the ones that don't believe in the name, see, we need to understand, the power of salvation is in the name. The power of salvation is in the name. What's the power of salvation? The power of salvation isn't in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Word tells us that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. He does that. That's the work of the Spirit. The Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ baptizes us into the Holy Ghost. But we need to understand the difference. The Holy Spirit does it, but the authority and power to do it is in the name. Salvation is in faith in the name of Jesus Christ alone. We don't need some greater power. Everything is vested, all authority in heaven. There is no power of heaven that works to do anything except under the name of Jesus Christ. It's under that name. So that name saved. Now look at the 3rd chapter, and we want to see, I want you to see this, I want you to get this as a Christian. Because understand, this was talking to Christians. So if we receive Jesus Christ, if we believe on that name to be saved, and we did that, and we got born again, you're a child of God. You belong to God. Now, that's what happened. We take the disciples. Now in Acts the 3rd chapter, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the 3rd hour of prayer, the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Now I want you to listen to what he says. And here's something, here's a revelation that the church world needs desperately. Look what he says. He says, "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have.'" Now Peter said, "Look, I ain't got no money on me." He said, "I'm going to tell you what I got on me." Peter had something on him, and the church has it on them today and don't even know it. We walk around and our pocket is full of this, and we have no idea we got it. And we're walking around begging, trying to get things from God, trying to get God to do stuff. And Peter stopped and said, "Look, I ain't got his silver gold, but what I got, I'm going to give you what I got." And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." Now, he didn't pray for the guy. He didn't stop and hold and, "Oh, God in heaven, please help this poor, misfortunate man." He said, "I'm going to give you what I got." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Never prayed for him. He said, "This is what I got." Here we see really the first, from the standpoint of a notable miracle that's put in, how did it take place? It took place by the name of Jesus. Now this isn't some foreign thing, because you're going to find out that if you read the book of Acts, this is how things continually happen. This is how things continually went. And like I said, they didn't have all over there what Paul wrote and those writings Paul said. They turned the world upside down just believing in a name. They believed that that name would heal people. They believed that that name would deliver people. Look what the apostle Paul wrote and said, if we jump to verse 16. Here's what he told the people, how this guy got healed. He said, "And in his name, speaking of the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong who you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. How did he get healed? The name did it. Faith in the name did it. See, the church was given that name. See, and this is why when Jesus left the earth, and you've heard me use this scripture and you've read a lot yourself, but go to Mark 16. They're practicing Mark 16. They're practicing Mark 16. The church world needs to begin to start to practice this stuff. The church world needs to get off of the religious thinking and the religious ideas about stuff and about God and how He operates. You know, I used to teach a class for almost like about 6 years in a Bible school. I taught a class on the gifts of the Spirit. And I would talk to students about the gifts of the Spirit. And in my opening things, I would begin to talk to people about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. And I'd ask questions like, how do you get the Holy Ghost to move through you? Almost everybody would go through, oh yeah, well you just become more spiritual. You become more, you know, you get to be more holy. And boy, God will just work through you. I said, well, that's a wrong. See, most people are taught that, you know, God's going to move through you and God's going to do things through you if you get real good. Well, I learned this early in my Christian walk. If God wasn't going to do things for Ed and through Ed the way He was, ain't nothing changing. I found out I needed the help of God to change. I needed God working through me to change. See, we're taught Christians to come to Jesus by faith and then work it out on your own. And then when you get really good enough, then God will use you. This is why most Christians are sitting around waiting for God to use them. But I'm going to tell you, ain't God been the one that's been the problem about none of it. It's been us sitting and waiting and not knowing who we are and what was given to us. What we got. What did we get from God? Now listen to these words in Mark the 16th chapter verse 15. This is Jesus right before He's leaving the earth. This is they call one of the great commissions. He's going to commission the disciples. But we need to hear who He speaks to in these things. Because everybody thinks, oh, this was the disciples. It's because most people have gone to so many colleges and so many, you know, like the ministers went to so many seminaries, and I think they were cemeteries, that they were told different things. They got so stupid they can't even read words anymore. Well, we're going to read words this morning. The words that were spoken in the Scriptures that speak to you and I of God's plan for you. Listen what He says. Jesus, he said to go into all the world and He told them to preach the gospel to every creature. Now He said, you apostles, you guys here with me, you go out here and preach this stuff. You go out here and preach this gospel. What was Jesus' gospel? You know what Jesus' gospel was? Healing? Because the Bible talks about it. He went around healing. So he had to preach the gospel of healing. How would anybody ever have faith in healing if he never preached on healing? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, today people get up and even evangelists said they preached the word, never talked about healing once. They never preached. They never preached the gospel. They preached a part of the gospel, but they never preached the gospel. God's a deliverer. He saves people and He delivers people. Look, we found out you got saved by the name of Jesus and you got healed by the name too. It's the same name. See, people say healing's not for today. If healing's not for today, then the name is not for today and salvation does not exist. The same name saves you. The same name heals you. It's the same name. It's the name above every name. Well, let me tell you, does cancer have a name bigger than Jesus? It ain't had it lately that I know of. Hallelujah. But no, we develop all these things. Christianity has brought all this low level and all this stuff in the world's been promoted above it. All the big stuff. And oh, we just need a better health program. There ain't a better one than God put in the Word. Hallelujah. God's got a health program for you. And He gave you the name of Jesus. Glory to God. The best health program that ever happened. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. This guy laid there all those years, 40 years at a gate. Nothing ever happened. The doctors couldn't do anything for him. And I'll guarantee you the doctors today probably couldn't do a thing for him. Hallelujah. But Jesus did it. That name of Jesus, faith in that name alone, changed that man's life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God somebody had faith. Now listen, He said, he who believes, you go preach this gospel, and then it says, he who believes and is baptized. Now look, He says, he who believes. Well, who's that? Who is He referring to? That's us. Anybody who believes the gospel and is baptized into Christ, anybody who does this, now listen, He said, anybody who believes and is baptized, what happens to that individual? He says, that will be saved. Well, that's a really hard, difficult thing to do. See, people are trying to do all kind of good things to get God to like them. I want to tell you, God made a way. God liked you before you ever did a thing good. Before you ever called on His name, He was in love with you. He sent His Son down to die for you and was raised from the dead for your justification. Hallelujah. God did that just through Jesus Christ. Now listen, He says, the guy who don't believe this gospel, He said that he who believes is baptized, that person's saved. The guy that don't believe, he's condemned. So in other words, if you believe, whoever believes this gospel, whoever believes, well, if I believe it now, I'm qualified as a saved one. Hallelujah. I believe this gospel. I believed on this gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of God. I heard a minister one time talking about the gospel of God. I thought, man, somebody needs to cast the devil out of that idiot and get him out of that pulpit. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can believe on God all you want, and I'll tell you, you ain't going to ever be saved. Nobody ever got saved believing in God. The Bible's clear of who you got to believe in to be saved. The Bible's clear on it. And so, but now listen to me. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. Did He say these signs will follow the apostles? Did He say these signs will follow you guys? These signs are going to follow you guys that preach the gospel. See, that's what most people believe today. Oh yeah, you know, I could believe Benny Hinn could do a miracle. Shall I tell you what Kenneth Hagin said, why God raises up special ministries and stuff, and why He raises them up and has people a special ministry? He said the reason He does is because the church gets away from the Word of God. He raises up ministries trying to bring it back to the church again. He says it's the unbelief in the church is why God does it. He doesn't do it because God wants to have special ministers do special things. He has to do it or the church loses the revelation completely. You see how much God loves us? You see how much God loves us? If He was in the killing business, He'd say, you ugly people forgot what I told you anyhow, you're done. He don't. He'll raise up another special minister to get us back on track again. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. But He said, these signs will follow those who believe. And then He says, in My name. In My name. Well, in My name they will cast out demons. See, today, you in the church world, don't even believe in demons. We just believe in psychologists. You can have 47 demons operate through you, and I'm going to tell you what, you can get all the psychologists you want, and it won't do nothing. Demons will laugh at you. You can sit and use your psychology work. All the places and all the hospitals that deal with psychology are all growing and getting bigger. If psychology worked, it would be getting smaller, wouldn't it? I'm going to tell you, devils are not moved by medications, nor are they moved by what men's theories and ideas. They don't care. But I'm going to tell you, devils will respond to the name of Jesus Christ. I know this thing works. I remember one time we were ministering one night on a Wednesday night when we first started off the church, and a woman came and said her son was just in fear all the time. He was in his 20s, but she said he just in his fear all the time. He said he's just driven by fear. And the Spirit of the Lord just quietly in my heart said to me, He said, take out your handkerchief, and He said, pray over your handkerchief. And He said, pray over. And He said, you tell him to take it. And when I did, the anointing of God was on me. And I felt the anointing go in. See, and the Bible talks about God did special miracles by the hands of Saul and Paul, where he went and turned around and laid hands on aprons and handkerchiefs. It says demons went out of people. And I just turned around and I prayed this. Now, I'm not saying anything, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, we just take the power of authority over those devils in Jesus' name. And I said to her, when you take this cloth and you put it, I said, don't tell him about it. Don't you go home and preach to him about it. I said, you'll probably make things worse. I said, let it alone. I said, you take this handkerchief and you put it in his pillowcase. Don't let him know you're doing it. I said, I'll guarantee he's going to lay his head on that pillow and he's going to get delivered. Now, this boy had been going to the doctor. They'd been giving him medication and it ain't been working. Well, it wasn't going to work because it was a demon. Demons aren't bothered by medication. They don't take it. It don't bother them at all. But I put it in there. She came back the next week and told me. She said, my God, she said, my son's totally changed. She said, he's not in fear anymore. I said, why? I said, that spirit left him. That spirit left him. It was a spirit driving him. A spirit was doing that. See, we have today lots of times I run into people, even Christians, that are dominated by demons, and they just won't look any other way. See, we would not have been given authority over demons in the name of Jesus if they ain't around. We need to know they're around. They're around. Sometimes they're enforcing sickness and disease. I've had it already where people have been prayed for loads of times. They can't ever get nowhere. God revealed to me a demonic power, dealt with a demonic power, the person got well. See, we got to get over and get, we get in our little stuck little areas and that stuff and things, and we don't realize in the name of Jesus, you're the devil. He said, we'll lay hands on the sick. He said, they'll speak with new tongues. Jesus said in His name they'll speak with new tongues. But I don't believe in this tongue stuff. Jesus does. He commanded the church. He said believers would operate in this. That's what He said. Well, I'm going to stick with the Bible. I ain't sticking with some old heathen preacher who says it ain't so. If it ain't so, then the name of Jesus was a lie and it wasn't for believers. And if it's not for believers, then salvation is not for the guy who believes today. It's not for us. Who's it for? See, we got to read the Bible for ourselves sometimes. You got to. So I always loved about Kenneth Hagin. When he'd teach us, he'd always say, now you go to the Bible and read to see if what I'm saying so. Now people go to church, they listen to the guy saying, and walk out, you know, God does this way. My words are, they're way off base. Because he don't know any better either. Well, he said, they'll cast out, they'll speak with new tongues. He says, if they take up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Oh, we just don't believe that. I mean, if you got bit by a snake, you're just going to die. It's really bad. You know, you're just going to, that was going to happen to you. You see, the Bible gave us concerning prayer. In the name of Jesus, you can pray over your food. The Bible tells you to sanctify it. The whole purpose of sanctified ain't trying to be religious. Most people only use prayer over food as saying, thank God for I got food. You're supposed to sanctify your food by the prayer of thanksgiving in the name of Jesus and sanctify it. If it's sanctified, it means it's good for you to eat. And I constantly tell people, you're out here in a world that's tainted. You better know how to sanctify stuff. People go around throwing medications in their mouth because a doctor told them to. And it ain't sanctified. And they take it and they wonder why they have the 700 side effects that go with it. They end up worse off than what they had because they don't live by faith. He said, if you eat a deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You need to sanctify that medication. You need to get some faith in the name. That's the purpose of it. I know it works. I go on a mission fields and I'll guarantee you I've eaten things you guys would never eat in your life. You'd never even consider eating. And I've gone and eaten it. And I've eaten stuff because you get out there, you get awful hungry at some of the places I've been and some of the things that are going on. I'll tell you, I've seen things in food you would not believe. I've seen things on food you would not believe. I saw more flies on food already than you guys have probably seen flies in your lifetime. I have seen things. If you're going to go and you're going to eat, you need to sanctify it. I've never gotten sick one time. I believe with it. In Jesus' name, I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to come down with all the problems everybody else comes down with. I don't have to. See, people say, well, that's being fanatical. I'm not talking about going here trying to do something. But you get into situations. Like I was over in India and I was out in the village areas. I'm going to tell you what, you don't get much more filthy than they get out there. I mean, if you ever go there and you ever went to a public bathroom, the dirtiest bathroom you have ever seen in a gas station is absolutely glorious to anything that they got over there when you go see it. I'm just telling you. Well, when you're there, you must go to the bathroom. You got to go sometime. And there ain't many private places to go. So you got to do something. Now, you do best yourself can to keep yourself clean, but I'll tell you what, you better learn to walk by faith. You better learn to walk by faith. And so I found out, it's faith in this name. Did he tell me that if I'd pray over my stuff, he said if I prayed on my food, I sanctified, it'd be okay for me? Is he just lying and that was just a bunch of wind blowing? Was that just a bunch of talk? I'm sorry, I don't believe it was a bunch of talk. It's worked for me time and time again. And doing that, of turn around, is getting into situations and getting into stuff. You know, you can walk in the best restaurant in the world. Here lately on channel WGAL, they've been taking these things and showing about restaurants and that stuff. Boy, some of the restaurants, folks, you go to and you think are just wonderful. They get so many, all the stuff that you find that they're turning around doing back there and that stuff. Food on the floor of the walk-in freezer and stuff and things that they're using and stuff. And you find out, you know, they got fish and it's at room temperature and they're serving it to people and stuff and doing it. And good restaurants. I read a thing some years ago and it said that many times that people think they're getting the flu, they didn't have the flu. He said they got food poisoning. Hallelujah. I gave up food poisoning a long time ago. We don't have that no more. No, I gave that one up. No, I gave that one up. I sanctified that food. Hallelujah. And Ed can eat it, and he's going to be all right. Hallelujah. He ain't dying with the rest of them. Why? Is it Ed's great? No. He said in his name. His name. It's in that name. It's in that name. I don't need to go get some long prayer and go through some ritual, sprinkle something on it and wave my hands over it and, you know, do some special thing. I don't have to do that. And see, the church needs to understand. We find out that these people, they weren't doing that through faith in the name of Jesus alone. They're walking down through here. These guys are just told. Jesus tells them, if you're a believer, these things follow you. You know, health and soundness, you know. You don't need, it's just like the thing of it is. I said, Christians, you don't talk about, well, you know, well, you couldn't really minister healing, you know, because, you know, the way things are here. You know, they're waiting for an atmosphere, something to feel good. The name of Jesus works no matter what. You don't need to have an atmosphere. You either have faith in it or you don't. You either got faith in the name or you don't got faith in the name. I know the first time I went to Peru and ministered in Peru, that we went down on a mission trip down there, and we went into a place called the Devil's Mouth. And it was. A million people live, and it was the Devil's Mouth. The most foul place. No electricity, no refrigeration, no things. No running water in the whole place. They just had these cisterns that they made out of clay, you know, brick, and then they had rubber on the inside of them and that stuff to hold water. And these trucks would go down to the river, just out of the river, pump water, and then go up and pump it into these things. You know, we went through this place. Sickness and disease. But you know, all we did is we went in there because, you know, I mean, what can you say? You're in a place, there is so much need. There is so much need. And if you start trying to get psychological about it and trying to do things, I'm going to tell you, just forget it. We just went in there with the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I'll never forget the first person that I laid my hands on. I mean, we just got off the bus to get in there. And this woman shows up, and she's a woman. She has, her husband had left her. She has four kids. The kids are all sick. She's sick. And she's there. And I just touched her in the name of Jesus, and she's instantly healed. You know, where faith in the name is, Jesus is. Where faith in the name is, Jesus is there. Through faith in the name is identical to Jesus Christ physically being present to do it. Faith in the name is just as Jesus Christ is in the earth again, walking around doing the ministry. See, the church has lost this. The church has lost it. But that's what... See, the disciples knew that. The disciples knew that using His name was actually like having Him here. They never did long prayers. Why? Jesus didn't. Jesus just told a person, as your faith is, be it unto you. And Jesus would speak to a person, do you believe I can do that for you? And they say, yeah. He'd say, well, you got it. See, they believed Jesus could heal. The woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made well. See, when the church believes in the name, Jesus Christ is present. See, the church has been reading too many books trying to get God to be present, treating Him like He's not, and we're trying to get Him here. We got to get out of this unbelief of trying to get the presence of God and start living like we have the presence of God. Peter and John acted like they had the name of Jesus in their pocket. They said, I don't have silver and gold, but I do have something for you. Just a minute. The name of Jesus. How about that? Rise up and walk. What about that one, huh? Yeah, that's good. We have some in there for mothers, but here's that one. That'll work. You see, their reaction like something was given. Didn't Jesus say, "You, the people who believe your gospel, these signs will follow them." We're trying to pray like we're trying to get them to follow us. That's unscriptural. That's not in line with the covenant. We're supposed to be praying like the name of Jesus is just trying to overtake us. You're trying to run away from it. It follows you. You can't run away from it. It's following you. So when you stop, whatever's following you can catch up with you, can't you? So you got it. You got this name. You got the name above every name, and you have it. You're not trying to get it. You're not trying to work up some kind of thing for it to work. This is all on Jesus. If He is not going to do it, that's between Him and the person. It's not between me. My job is to announce the name. Say, look, I got the name. Kenneth Hagin used to say this all the time. He said, look, I can't heal a gnat's eyeball. Look, I saw miracles take place through that man. I saw lame people get up out of chairs and walk. I saw all kinds of things going on. And he'd say, I can't heal a gnat's eyeball. He said, I don't do the healing Jesus does. He said, I just go out and give him the opportunity. I give him the opportunity to do it. I call on his name. When I call that name, his presence is there to do what the name says. His presence is there. Hallelujah. His presence is with you here today. If you're born again, you have the name of Jesus. You're not trying to get it. You got it. You got the name above every name. You're seated in the same spiritual place in heavenly places that He Himself sits at the right hand of the Father. That's what the Scripture says. He commissioned you and He said to you, hey, you believe this gospel? Wherever you go in my name, demons will run. Wherever you go in my name, sickness and disease will leave. Wherever you see, the church got to come to the place of faith in the name. We've lost that. Religion has lost that. I realize in looking at things of teaching, we got over and really we emphasized certain areas of teaching, and it was rightfully so and good, but we left too much behind. Too much behind of the goodness of God that's in the name of Jesus. Understand these men and women in the book of Acts. This is a baby church. This ain't people having a whole bunch of revelation. These are the babies out there turning the world upside down with the name of Jesus. So you know what? You don't have to be some scholar. You didn't have to go to Bible school. My words, I know more good men got ruined in Bible schools, you know, by hearing dumb stuff taught. You don't have to think if God sends you, praise God, I went to a Bible school. I was taught good. But there's a lot of stuff out here that's taught and said. Read the Bible for yourself. Read the Bible and look at what it says and what it says about you. About what God gave you. Hallelujah. God's not waiting for you. You know, if you get real good, then I'll bless you. Hallelujah. He'll bless you so you can get real good. Hallelujah. Without the blessing of God, you're never going to live a right life. You're never going to walk. It requires God's hand on your life to live a godly life. Hallelujah. If we could have done it without God, then what do we need God for? I'm going to tell you, I need God to live right. Hallelujah. You take God out of Ed's life and all you got left is what I was before, you're in trouble, folks. I was a misery on the earth. I make your life miserable. I do everything I could to torment you. You haven't run into people like that in your life? You ever have people around like that? Well, I was one of them. And I was a professional at it. I could make you miserable in seconds. And I used to love to do it to people just to get them going, just make them miserable. Just love to do that. What changed that? Jesus Christ changed that. Hallelujah. I hate to see people in misery. I hate to see people living under the... I tell you, when I see people sick, I hate it. I hate to see people sick. It never was God's intent for humans to be sick. Sin brought it into the earth. And God gave us Jesus Christ to deliver us. Hallelujah. He gave us Jesus Christ to set us free. Because He loves you so much. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He Himself took your infirmities. It says He took them. Hallelujah. Thank God He took them and I ain't taking them back. Hallelujah. I had enough of the infirmity stuff. I had enough of that stuff. I had enough of pain in my life. I had enough of things happening. And now I got the name of Jesus Christ. And that name declares I'm free. That name declares you're free. That name has been given to you. In fact, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and called them Christ. He told them, you're Christ. The church is Christ. There's no such thing. Your head don't go by one name and your body goes by another. Well, I want you to meet Ed Gibson and this is Lester, you know, Schilling from down the street. No, it's all one. Hallelujah. And the church is all one in Christ Jesus. And what He has, He said, you're a joint heir. The Bible says, New Testament, you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Do you have what He has or don't you? Well, the church has been told you don't. No, one day when you get to heaven, you'll get it. I'm sorry, in heaven you won't need it. There's nothing up there against you in heaven. There's no devils up there to torment you. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. You don't need none of this in heaven. You need it down here where we live. We need the knockout punch down here. We need to have something that stands up and fights for us here. Not in heaven. There's no fights up there. It's right here, right now, in this earth. And I'm going to tell you, the name of Jesus will knock out whatever needs to be knocked out. The name of Jesus is big enough for you. It was given to you. It's God's gift to you. Don't turn it away. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to ask you something. Anybody here, and maybe you've been going through some bad stuff. Maybe you've been going through some...